Welcome to Christ Today. Today we are with Paul Hofsfield, and we are talking about the paradise fire. I know, the campfire. But we have experience with which just has been so full, so overwhelming, and so many people who have been involved, and plenty of hurt, too. But Paul, welcome to Christ Today.
Hello, John. I'd like to start this session with a prayer that I wrote. It's called Prayer for the Misunderstood. I pray for you in the cardboard box with your head against the wall. I pray for you hiding in the bushes, for you have seen it all. I pray for the young woman walking both sides of the street. I pray for the old man pushing the shopping cart, trying to make ends meet. I pray for the homeless that they find blanket and bread. And I pray for the misunderstood that we all understand instead.
Yes, and Paul, there are so many needs, especially needs in society anyway. But with this fire, we have just, well, we have come together as a community to help and to show Christ's love to people. That's what you've been doing.
Yes, I have. I'd like to say that back in 2016, I had a very vivid dream that's bothered me for a while, and I ended up writing it into a poem back then and recited it at a growth group, and I'd like to say a part of that right now.
Yeah.
It's titled Paradise 2018. This was written back in 2016. It was a quiet autumn eve. I was watching the sun go down. Lights were slowly coming on around town. There's a crispness in the air, a cool mountain breeze, and all the wildlife was settling down in and around the trees. Then a thunderous explosion, smoky clouds rising from the flame. We knew it had just begun, and life would never be the same.
See, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
You got touched by the Holy Spirit and gave you that words.
This was there. I needed to share it. I kind of wished maybe it could have been more of a warning, but it was just an area for me that I was just reaching into. And the deck that I recited this to during that Bible study is the only thing remaining in a burned-out neighborhood where everything else is gone. You can drive by Skyway and Pence and see this deck stand. And the last time that I recited this at a Bible study was at a home where most of the neighborhood was burned out, but that house was spared. And I find that was kind of interesting or coincidental, or a new phrase that I've recently heard is God incidental. So
yeah, God has his hand on all around us.
God is there. And kind of like to share a little bit. After I wrote that poem and recited it, months went by, about a year, and I had an opportunity to buy a motorhome. I felt that I should purchase that for an emergency. I brought that motorhome home. I filled the propane, filled the gasoline, filled clothes and food in there, had the motorhome ready to go. Little did I know that it would be where I'm living now. Everything else was burned.
Yeah.
I drove that. I was chased down the street by the flames in that motorhome. I had to drive down Skyway on the wrong side of the street into the smoke. There was a car and a truck that disappeared into the smoke ahead of me. When I caught up to them, they had both exploded in flame, and I went between them. I was holding the steering wheel and figuring I was next, trying to figure out which way I was going to pull off so that I wouldn't block the highway behind me. God spared me. I made it down the hill. On the way down the hill, my brakes went out. I pumped my brakes all the way down Skyway and all the way to the Walmart parking lot. The Lord had spared me. As soon as I could, realizing that I had lost everything, I wanted to get back up there, as many people did. I didn't want to dwell on my losses, and I turned all my attention to the community and helping the people up there recover. That was part of my recovery, just to comfort and help others and guide them towards their needs. So that's what I've pretty much been doing the last 6 months, and been writing about it, thinking about it, and just continuing all different aspects of it.
Wow. That is a story, all of it, both to go down Skyway in the vehicle that God told you to buy, and to have the brakes go out is a wow.
And not to hit anything on the way. It all was a well. When I came down out of the smoke, it was like flat black paint across my windshield. I tell people it was darker than night. When I actually got below the smoke, I was blinded by the regular daylight. And I asked myself, is this heaven? Is this where I'm at now? Did I lose it? And then I thought maybe it was just an emergency helicopter hitting a spotlight on me. But I had made it through the fire, the smoke, the flames, and I was down below the smoke. And I knew I'd been blessed and saved. All I could think to do was to show my thanks to God and to get back up and help all my brothers and sisters with their life. So that's where I'm continuing. That's where I'm at. I've got another poem here I'd like to recite,
kind of
addressing that. We pray and gather thoughts. We fought the battle. The devil attacked us all, can still feel the rattle. We will regain our strength. We will be strong. We will find our happy place, no matter how long. We have had things taken. We have endured a loss. We may still feel shaken, but we still know the cost. Our Savior gave his life so we could all live. It's the only way of life we know, to love and give. Our love is stronger now, my Abba Father. The devil only strengthens us, so why does he bother? We are even stronger now. I can feel it more. We shine in the light of God, brighter than before. You may still feel the weight heavy on your heart, but you are still on your journey now, doing your part. It was a burden with so much things needed to be done. Now my schedule has been cleared. I feel like I have won. We all had things we did each day. It was our routine. We have a new life going now. We see what God did mean. We have each other still, the land, the skies, and I prefer to see it all as blessings in disguise.
Oh, yeah. Paul, that's, yes, so true. And that is an attitude that we ought to have always in life, is to clear our schedule and let God tell us what is on our schedule. And that's what he did for you.
Yes, he did. It's just I don't ever feel I can fully repay what God has done for me.
Yeah.
But I can continue to help other people, comfort other people, and I feel that's what God wants of me. And that is, in a way, repaying. I'm doing all I can in God's way that I'm guided to do. And I feel blessed that I'm able to comfort others. It's a blessing to me because I'm not depressed. I'm not down on my losses. I'm just loving and helping, holding and hugging and listening to others and help them through this crisis we had. And that is a blessing in itself.
Makes my heart feel good just to hear you say that, because that is fulfillment. It's a very deep heart fulfillment.
Yes, it reaches many different levels that maybe I haven't given a lot of thought to previously in my life, but I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm where God wants me to be. I know I've been blessed, and all I can do is pass on all the good feelings in God's way and help people through their struggles and overcome what we've all been through.
Would you mind saying just a little bit about the way that you have been a help in that community? You've helped with churches. You've helped with individual people. Tell me about that.
Yes. I was just guided, all I could say is spiritually guided. I went to a church parking lot where I saw some people standing. This was Megalia Pines Baptist Church. And there was some Baptist chaplains there from out of state, and they were offering cups of coffee. And I went in to talk to them. They started asking me questions about what people need, what people have gone through. And I told them how the shelves in the gas stations were empty. There was barely any food around. Everybody had been boiling water for instant coffee, instant oatmeal, top ramen, anything you could add water to survive with. And I told them I used to enjoy going out for biscuits and gravy occasionally through the week. They said to me that that's what they had there. They could make biscuits and gravy. They started doing that the very next day at the church, and that became the beginning of over 75,000 meals now been served there since the fire, since the recovery center opened. It was a small little canopy. We used to sit and drink coffee and eat our biscuits and gravy. There was pet food for a lot of animals actually there before there was food for people. There was food for lambs, pigs, sheep, fish, birds, horses, turtles, any kind of animal you could name. There was food there for the animals. And that was great. I used to help people come in and get through the food and find their dog food or cat food or whatever kind of food they were looking for, chicken food. And that progressed. We had donations of pet food coming in, and the recovery center was slowly being built around that. We had a bigger canopy put up, and eventually we had a large tent put up. I believe it was 50 feet by 100 feet, and it was heated, and the meals were starting. There was homemade hot breakfast and a homemade hot lunch offered to everybody, and everybody came. More and more people came. Christmas time came around, and there was donations of toys, more than we had children. There was leftover toys to make sure that no child would go out without a toy during the Christmas time. It was lights on in there. It was Christmas tree. There was pine trees that had been delivered for people to set up a Christmas tree. It was just giving, giving, giving. It was comforting. There was just a lot of love and concern. The next day after Christmas Eve, I sat in my motorhome with my two little dogs alone. It was one of the most happiest Christmases I ever had. I'd helped hundreds, if not thousands, of people already, and I just felt so good sitting in there looking out the window, knowing what I had done, and was just ready to start the next morning helping people. It was just wonderful. It was one of the most heartwarming Christmases I'd ever had. Couldn't imagine sitting in a motorhome in a parking lot at a church in a burned out forest that eventually was covered in snow, and I was happy. The Lord was with me, and I needed to share that with everybody else. I had no other concern in my life than to comfort and help other people, and that's what I've done. That's what I'm still doing.
Makes my heart warm just to hear that story and to know that we as Christians can love other people, and you're showing your love for other people. That's wonderful.
Yes, it's felt wonderful. It's just, it's what we're here for. I'm like I said, I'm where God wants me to be. I have no doubt of that. I feel my spiritual consciousness thriving through all this, just reaching out for the next thing to do. And it's just a wonderful feeling. I've all my needs have been met. My needs now are just helping other people with their needs. And it's just God. It's God working. It's what God wants us to be like. I share this with people. A lot of people lost direction in life. I heard that people were going down talking to FEMA when there was nothing to say. Everything had been said. All the paperwork had been done. But the people had no guidance. They had no routine. They'd lost it all. And that's what I talk to people about, that they needed to reestablish a routine, that they needed to get up and do something every day, get up and have that cup of coffee, get up and eat that little bowl of oatmeal, get up and do whatever. The recovery center opened up, and they were able to come in there every morning and have a hot home-cooked breakfast. They still can to this day. And after a while, it paid off, and I felt the enjoyment of my efforts. People were coming in saying, well, this is my routine now. I come in here and have breakfast, and then I go and do this, and I go and do that. And I told them, that's what it's all about, and that's great. It's great that they've been able to establish that. That was needed so bad. There were so many misguided people not knowing where to go, what to turn to. A lot of handshakes and a lot of hugging going on. I wore myself out hugging. It was hundreds of people I knew at first, but I'm pretty sure I probably hugged 1,000 people and wished them well, and I'd let them talk to me. They needed to vent. They needed to talk, and I was there, and I was doing that. That's what God wanted me to do, and I had no problem with it. There was no hesitation to hug somebody, tell them I love them, just to guide them through this recovery. It was just so heartbreaking. I've got another poem I can read that kind of relates to that.
Would be wonderful if you did.
Okay. It was a battle we all fought. that some won, some lost. We gather now to give praise to those who paid the highest cost. So do we mention every name that was formed the list, or do we talk of their achievements and how they will be missed? So many beautiful people, so many beautiful souls, so many in such a better place, as all of us here knows. Dear God, please take our brothers and sisters into your loving arms, that we may sleep and live our lives knowing now they face no harms. In giving our loved ones their final wish, I think they would agree for us to move on, rebuild this mountain, love each other. Hugs are free. I love you, God. I love you. This has all been such a strain. I'm here for you in every way to love and comfort those still in pain.
That is so, it's the great commandment, love God and love your neighbor. And this is so much love. That's the one thing that strikes me about how human we are to show compassion, which is what you've done. It's just being concerned about other people. And it just strikes me that there was so much giving for food, for water, for gifts, all of it. And you got to be a part of it, Paul.
Yes, this will be the greatest mark of my life that I can see to this point. I connected the dots, I kind of call it, to get here, and I see more dots ahead of me to connect. So I'm on a roll with the Lord. I feel the Holy Spirit flowing through me, and I just know more is coming. I know the people will recover. I know the town will be rebuilt. I know there's just a whole nother way of life that's going on now that will form back into a beautiful community as time goes by.
I like to think about the concept of community because to me that is a very, very important. Of course, I think of Christian community, but any community is better than none,
yes.
But Christian community is the best.
Yes, it's Christian-based. No one's turned away for whatever their beliefs are.
Yeah.
For the community to thrive and rebuild, the help, the meals, the clothing, the food, whatever people need has to be available to everybody. Nobody excluded, or it just wouldn't work. And it has worked. It has worked. People have gotten their needs. People are settling down. And it's still rough up there. As I mentioned, there's still people having to live in tents and boxes and cars, vans, wherever they can live. People trying to find a place to live. But it's happening. It's slowly coming together, and it will make it. It will survive.
That's life. It's recovery. It's loving and compassion. And what an opportunity to show that. The churches are doing this too.
Yes.
The churches are such an active part in showing love.
Yes, it's just a beautiful thing to see the outpouring. It's just unimaginable until you see what's going on, the things that people have done to help. A lot of people want to help. They're not really sure how to help because so many things have been done. I know at the recovery center right now, things are going good. Budgets are getting a bit tight there, and that's probably the most helpful thing if anybody feels like they do want to help. Monetary donations would be greatly needed. We've got food and water, and we've been able to supply everybody, but there are bills that need to be paid, and that's probably one thing that we're trying to work with and get through. We're in uncharted waters right now. The recovery has just reached a point where it's almost a day-to-day basis. Things change. People's needs change. The place changes a lot. It's just something that has to be dealt with, and we just do the best we can. And it's going. It's still considered, in my mind, to be a disaster, but the flames are out.
Yeah.
And I've told thousands of people that the flames are out, but the disaster is still going. Until everybody's out of a cardboard box or out of a tent or out of their car or their van or wherever they're living and sleeping, to me, the disaster's still on. And I won't stop till I know that I don't see anybody living in a burned-out forest or anywhere else or not anywhere, just laying out their sleeping bag on the ground at night to sleep. I've seen every type of life that could go on there after this disaster, and it's been heartbreaking. can drive you to tears very easy. And I've just comforted so many people, and I still talk to people. There's people that are still uncomfortable, shooken up. They don't really come around the church. They may come in to get their meal and leave, and they might not. Just a lot of people are really heartbroken, depressed, and saddened. And lots of times I'll walk off the church property and just go talk to somebody out in the forest or leaning on a wall somewhere and try to comfort them a bit. No, this is there for everybody. We don't really want people coming there and loitering, but people can come there and get their needs, and nobody's turned away for any reason. Nobody. And I've got a bit of another little poem that I kind of wrote addressing that.
Good.
I'll read that now.
Yeah.
Why don't people want help when they need it bad? Don't they see the ones that love them slowly turning sad? The gifts that God gives to us all should not be taken lightly. I've done all I can do to help, care and love, and they turn and fight me. God has brought me to the crossroads. Do I stay and continue? Have I done enough already, or time to see what they do? I have feelings they may not show, sometimes a little too sensitive. Aren't we supposed to help each other love and care and give? Why does it turn painful when it seems we care too much? Trying to help, we pray that they will feel the touch. This may be where our Savior Jesus really hurt the most. Not on the cross, but people who don't believe Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Wow. Yeah, that's a touching poem. And it does make me think of the people who are searching for the answer or searching for a better feeling. They're dealing with depression. And what a lot of just sadness there has to be among everyone there.
Tremendous sadness. It's difficult when you've talked from hundreds to thousands of people and everybody's a little down. Honestly, it has affected me. I do need to take a little step away occasionally and pray to the Lord and regain my strength and composure and the love and the giving and the compassion and go back and dive back in and just do it all over again and just keep going and going and going. It was mentioned to me that Jesus used to take little breaks, so I don't feel bad when I take my little breaks. I take them and I dive right back in.
That's just wonderful. I think of the people who are giving care to others, and that includes everyone who does work like you, and it includes all the way from churches to even the government workers. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of emotional content.
On all pain. Different levels, yes.
Yeah, a lot of levels. Hurting people.
And recently I've kind of been talking to people of an exchange of services. You do this for me, and I'll do that for you, or you do this for him, and then he could do this for me, and I need this done. And people can just comfort and help each other with their professions and what they know how to do, and we can all work together. It's only going to work completely if people pull together, if people care about each other, if the love and compassion is shared and spread around, if people understand what can come from it. A lot of people are still hurt, and they don't know how it could help them to actually be helping somebody else. I understood that right at the beginning, that I needed to care for other people to get through my own recovery with it. It's made me stronger than I've ever felt in my life, and I'm in an overwhelming state right now. I could have never imagined feeling the way I feel going through the life that I'm living now. As I said, living in a motorhome, in a parking lot, in a burned-out forest, I've reached levels of happiness that I never felt before. The fire has done great things for me. It was a horrible thing, but you can't dwell on it. You need to move on. You need to find the goodness somewhere. And I was able to find it. The Lord guided me. It's just incredible, the feelings you get back. And I try to help people realize that they can have these wonderful feelings too. If they can't get anything done for the day in their life, or they just feel like they're at a dead standstill and things aren't getting better for them, there's something they can do for somebody else. Everybody could do something for somebody else. There's no end to the things that need to be done there. Life needs to come back to the ridge, color needs to come back, love, companionship, togetherness. Everybody needs to pull together to bring these things back. It was dark and deadly, disastrous, but it doesn't have to remain that way. The trees will be removed. The burnt cars will be removed. The streets will be repaired. The utilities will be repaired. The water will be restored. It'll all come back. People just need to be patient. They need to pray to the Lord. They need to work together. And I can't really see any other way. I'm blinded by anything else. That's all I know is to continue in this path. And once again, I've got another little poem that I've written that I can contribute to that thought. This is the life of a believing Christian. You see all the time every day a believing Christian that wants you to join him and pray. Awake in the morning, gathering thoughts, and plan how the day does start. A believing Christian prays for the world, shares all the love in his heart. Busy with meetings and daily chores, a believing Christian won't forget, giving thanks to God, making sure that his place in heaven is all set. A believing Christian heads out the door, down the driveway, to the street. He will be ready for all that he faces and all the people he's hoping to meet. So goes the day of a believing Christian, waking up thankful all through the year. A believing Christian who knows that our final days are near. This is the life of a believing Christian. You see all the time, every day, a believing Christian that wants you to join him and pray.
It's so warm to hear those words. I think of love, hope, compassion, and especially a relationship with God.
I think people are realizing that there really is something there. I've had people tell me they don't believe in God, and you still pray for somebody then when they say that. You know, people can say what they want to say, and you can still pray, and that's all there is to it. You hope that their eyes are open. You hope that they feel the love. You hope they recognize the giving and the compassion that so many other people are doing for so many to see this all happen, to see the brotherhood that God wants us to live in, the helpfulness, the family. Being at the church and living there is like a small community to a lot of people, but to me it's become my family. It's all my brothers and sisters. There's several of us. What can we do today? How can I help you today? Can I do anything for you? Lending tools, helping with a vehicle, helping somebody repair a trailer, maybe getting that person a tent that's only had a sleeping bag. Whatever it takes, we're all family. We're all here. We're all brothers and sisters. And that's just the way it's going to be. There's nothing going to change it. There's nothing going to change the love. I'll die with the feelings that I feel today, the feelings that I try to express to everybody else, and I see the growth in it. And I see that maybe things happening like this small community that the church has turned into, maybe how we are, maybe how our future will be. To me, if it's this much love and compassion and it's just around a church that's turned into a small community and a recovery center, then let it be, because I just feel love there. They're my brothers and sisters. They're no different than the ones I grew up with or the ones that I live with, the ones I talk to every day, the ones I have breakfast with, the ones I share the washing machine with, whatever it is, we're family. And there needs to be a pull together and a pull to keep these families together. And this is just beautiful, what I've seen. I could never have pictured the life I'm living the way it is now. And it's just beautiful. It's what God wants. I occasionally slip away and I'll go out into the forest and I'll hold the pine needles in my hands. I'll listen to the water flowing and I just thank God. And I feel so much he just hears me. It's holding God's hand. It's seeing God's face when I go out in nature and I'm thanking him and I'm grateful. I wake up grateful every day for what I have. And I express that to other people. Don't look at what you don't have. Just be grateful for what you do have. And it's my strength. It's my daily strength. No matter what time of day it is, that's life, and that's how life will continue and prosper. That's how I see it.
That's a biblical message if I've ever heard one, because it's community, It's well, it's relationship with God, loving God, and loving your neighbor, and you just bring it out.
It's there. It's not really me bringing it out. It's God bringing it out through me. God brings it out through me. The Holy Spirit flows through me. I just feel it. I felt the Holy Spirit really running through me when I was on my way down here this morning. It puts me in a very strong emotional state, and that's the state I'm usually in when I write my poetry. I get very emotional, and I start writing not knowing what I'm going to write, and before I know it, I have a page of poetry written, praising the Lord, praising my brothers and sisters, praising life, praising all the survivors that we've all made it through, and blessing and keeping in thought and mind those that didn't make it through. They're still loved in our hearts, even though they're not here. And it's just, that's just, I don't see any other way people can live. And if I see anybody else that I don't think is catching all that, I just pray that they do. Here's another little thought that I've written down. The more I pray for help, the more that I could see all the sad people who need more help than me. Tears flow from my eyes so easily these days. Emotions cloud my view with visions in the haze. I've found you, God. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit thrives. How can so many people be living such broken lives? We all need to care and to love and to forgive so those with broken hearts can care and love and live. It's strong. It's strong. These are my thoughts. Written in a prayer, this continually is written down. The Lord's working through me this way. Hopefully, I have an opportunity in the future to join back with you and share further thoughts and poems that I've written on this. It's how God is working through me, and if I can share it with others, then I'm succeeding in what God's wanted me to do. Because I feel the flow through me. I feel the Holy Spirit. There's no end to it. There's no weakness to it. It's just strength. It's love. It's brilliant light. It's guidance. It's continuation in the way that Jesus lived. It's what we should be doing.
Yes, God. More Jesus. Yes, Holy Spirit.
Here's another little thought that I had written down. This all kind of connects in one way or the other. The conversation is almost these poems, but I think and write in poetry, so when I'm not talking sometimes, even when I talk and think it's in poetry, but
it's good.
We have done this to God. We have done it to ourselves. Only when we pull together, we become stronger, the good book tells. We give praise and thanks to our God, who still loves us so, alive and healthy, warm with food, loving each other, that's how we know. The time has come now, there is just too many of us all talking. Brothers and sisters, it's about love. Together we should be walking. We are here getting the message when part of your life is messed that you can still see we're here together and all our lives are blessed.
This is such an important message because it is loving one another, loving God, loving one another, and a part of this is community and serving other people. And that's what you're doing. It's so lovely to hear the examples.
This strengthens me. It just strengthens me. That's all I can say. And it'll strengthen you, too. When you feel this way in your heart, when you're down. Recently, I've been telling people, when you feel somebody's done some wrong, go out and do something good. It doesn't matter what. Just if you know in your heart that it's good, that'll tip the scales back from whatever's been dumped on there in the wrong side of the scale. And I've been telling people this lately, and they love the thought. And they come back and they tell me it does work. Just do something good, no matter what it is, when you feel something bad's been done. It strengthens your heart. It helps everybody around you. When you're strong, that radiates to other people, and they get the strength from you. And I've kind of realized that being strong for so many people at the recovery center and doing all I can, that it does strengthen me. I get tired, I take my breaks, but just dive back in. I get strength from it. This is my daily vitamin, is to go out and hug somebody, say good morning, offer some help, do something good. That gives me more strength than taking my B complex in the morning. So you just, once you start experiencing it, you'll feel it. And it's there. There's no doubt. I don't doubt anything. I have no doubts. I don't have any worries. God doesn't want us to worry. Things will straighten out. He doesn't want us to be depressed, worried, doubt anything. And when you start maybe looking beyond your own needs and looking at other people's needs, to me, that's just where it's at. That's how we're supposed to be. That's life. That's love. That's religion. That's what's just meant to be. That's what we should all have been born to be that way. And I just don't see any other way will work for my life. And I'm really hoping that when you give it some thought, that it works in your life too.
It's uplifting just to think of how a tragedy could have turned so much into good.
It is. It's turning the darkness into light.
Yes.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling that everyone can enjoy. Nobody's excluded. Everyone's welcome. The doors are open. It's just what we're supposed to be living like, thinking like, caring like. And if any of you are interested, you're welcome to come up to the recovery center, share any thoughts you may have, ask any questions you may have. Just come up and get a hug. They're free. You can get hugs all day. There's everybody around that will give you a hug. Mm-hmm. I don't have any doubt in that. And I see the smiles on people's faces. Some people cry. Maybe they haven't had a hug in a long time and they needed one. I can tell when I hug somebody that I feel like our bodies bond together. I almost feel like I'm melting. And I feel how much they needed that hug. And I was just so glad that I gave it to them and a little bit sad that they didn't get it sooner. But they're there. Everybody will pray with you, hold your hand, aim you towards your needs. Just come up and visit. Come up and visit the nursery that's next to the church now. There's beautiful plants and trees bringing life back to the ridge. There's flowers. It's just, there's never been a nursery like this. It's beautiful. The ground's covered in wood chips. It's in a part of the forest right next to the church. You can just walk in and feel the vibrations. You can look at beautiful, healthy plants ready to revitalize the whole community, the whole ridge. And if nothing else, come up, have a cup of coffee, walk around the nursery, talk to some people. You won't be sorry. You won't leave unhappy. It's the beginning of a new wave in your life, a beginning of a new way of thinking, or just continue the way you already are living and just come up and share it with other people. Nursery's just been a great thing. I've worked hard to bring life back up to the ridge, try and get the car club to come back up there, the men's breakfasts, any businesses. So much business was lost that people have to go down the hill. You don't have to go down the hill now for your nursery needs. I was going down to Home Depot and Lowe's all the time, but that's changed. I don't need to go there now. I just walk right next door, and there's a beautiful nursery I can go to. There's life coming back. There's concern coming back. There's people that see where we're headed. There's a settling down in the community, and people are realizing it will rebuild. It will grow. God is there. It's a wonderful thing. It's just it's a part of life now. It's been said this was the worst fire in state history. Well, I've heard that repeatedly. But how about saying this is the most beautiful recovery in the state history? I have not seen anything more beautiful than what I've seen going on with the love and compassion of the people that are there, the new family I have, the people that are welcomed in. It truly is the most beautiful recovery in the state history that I've ever seen.
I think that's such a good thought, the most beautiful recovery in state history. And that's what we need. It's a part of hope. And this church, the Magalia Pines Baptist Church. Oh, could you tell us where that is? Because I'm sure people would love to come to a church where there's love.
Sure. A lot of people know of the little coffee shop that was called Jackie's Hilltop Cafe. Jackie ended up selling the restaurant, the Cozy Diner down in Paradise. Bought the restaurant, so that they could continue on with everything that they did. And it's a great little place. There's you cross over the bridge that's by the water recycle plant, and you go up to where there used to be a hardware store. It's all rubble now. And you'll come across the nursery. You'll come across Megalia Pines. You'll come across the Hilltop Cafe. There's a brand new Rite Aid there. The trees are being cleared and hauled out. You can't miss it. If you can't see it, you can close your eyes. You'll still feel it. It's a beautiful area. There's just love, life, compassion, and the growth and the repair of the community is going on. So you just can't miss it. Just take a little drive, and you'll know you're in the right place when you get there. I can't tell the address because I can't remember right now, okay. But go by your feelings. Go by your heart. You'll find it.
Yeah. Oh, this is – it's just amazing to drive through these areas because you do see the devastation. But, of course, we have so much hope when you see the community coming together.
Yes, it see it, or like I said, or feel it. It's yes. There. It's strong. The feelings are strong. And just come and visit. It's a little oasis in the burned out forest now. It's beauty. It's love where there was darkness. There's hope where there was no hope. It's people are pulling together. You can feel the strength of everybody working together. And that's the most important part of it all, is people pulling together. And not just in a devastated area, but in undevastated areas, in unburned towns, in cities, in Chico, in Oroville, in Redlands, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just everywhere. Everywhere people need to pull together. And there's a strength there. There's a communal feeling there. There's a love there. And it's there. There's no denying it. Just do something for somebody else. Do something good. Even if there's nothing, anything bad happened, do something good anyway. It's only strength. It only strengthens you. It strengthens those around you. Here's a short little poem that I'd written, kind of touching on what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
My journey through life has brought me here to you, to be at this place at this time and do what I do. We may have met before. We'll certainly meet again. Knowing that for sure, need not question when. At this so intense time, I find myself in tune with all that's happened, happening now, and will happen soon. I pray this mighty effort going on here now will make the difference in many lives some way, somehow.
That is the hope, because we want to have an interaction with God, with people, and this is a form of community. How lovely.
Yes, it is. Everybody can feel it. Like I said, there's no exclusion.
Mm-mm.
Everybody, go hug somebody. Go hug somebody out of the blue. Go blow their minds. Just go hug somebody. Let them know you care.
Yes.
Everybody's got some little thing they have to deal with in their life. And a compassionate hug to somebody lets them know they're not alone. So many people feel that they are alone in their struggles and the things they go through in life. And a few kind words and a handshake or a hug lets them know they're not alone. And that in itself strengthens them. I've been on the downside of that, and I've felt the uplift of a hug or kind words. And I'm never going to let it go. I'm never. It's always going to be there. There's nobody. There's no issue that you can't comfort somebody. You can't help them find their needs. You can't welcome them. You can't say a kind word. There's no limit to the strength that you can give somebody else. You can do it without even realizing that you have done it. Just have the love and the compassion in your heart, and you'll do it. It radiates out of you. People can feel it. People can feel, and I try to keep my whole talk positive, but people can feel when somebody's upset too, when somebody may be full of hate or just despise or whatever. We don't want to feel those feelings. I don't even want to discuss those feelings. The reason I'm only saying that is you can feel the love, the compassion, and the genuine care that people have when it's there. It's around you, and it radiates from them, and they could pass it on to you, and you can pass it on to somebody else. God helps those who help others, and just by loving someone, we'll help them, and that will bring strength and love to you. So there's really no limit, only your own thoughts. The more you're involved, the more you'll see and the more you will feel it. And I'm on my wave of enjoyment. I'm not depressed from this disaster. I turn my back on all the things I lost and just open my heart and my visions to those that had lost that just don't know what to do. They're overcome with it. And I really don't have doubt that what I've done over the last 6 months, as tiring as it may have been, with very little sleep that I've got, it didn't matter. The goodness that comes from it, the righteousness, the spiritualness, it's there. There's no denying you feel it. Become a little part of it, and it just explodes and takes off. It'll radiate to other people. And the more people it spreads to, and they spread it to more and more, and it just goes. And it doesn't have to just be in a down area. It can be throughout the city, throughout the county, throughout the state, throughout the country. This can go. And we all need to pull together. The country's in a lot of turmoil right now. It's not just a disaster, the state's worst fire in history. There's a lot of things that contribute to the way people are feeling right now. But none of that matters, really. Just be loving, be caring, be compassionate to those around you. It will explode in a great way, in a positive way. And that's where we should all be at, trying to build each other up, not put people down. Trying to do the best you can instead of barely getting by. It's there. It's happening. I've seen it. It will go on. The recovery will take time, but the love and the compassion will build as it's going on. As things get better, things will feel better. And at the end, when we all feel like maybe we've finally gotten this taken care of, when all the burned trees are gone, the cars are gone, the buildings are built, the streets are repaired, we'll know that we put our hearts into it. We'll know we're a part of it. We'll know that everybody there is a part of everybody else's life, and that we're all really our family. We're all here pulling together. And you can only feel strong. I can't see any weakness anywhere. You'll just feel strength from it.
Oh, what an uplifting message this is. I feel brightened in my heart just to hear and be speaking about this. Yes, it was a difficult time to go through, but look at the hope that we have throughout it. Look at the human relationships we're building, the spiritual needs that we recognize and we go to God for. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, yeah, I mean,
there's always hope.
Yeah.
God is always there. There's always one of God's children, one of my brothers and sisters. There's always somebody there with an open ear to hear what you have to say, to answer questions you have, to guide you in a stronger direction than you're in. Just to be there, just to love you, just to comfort you.
Isn't that what Christ is all about?
Yes, it really is. I've discovered it doesn't matter what. You can just have overwhelmingly loving, positive feelings, and you don't, once you discover it, I can't see how I can lose it. I'm pumped full of it. And it's a great thing. Here's another little thought, a poem that I'd written down. Kind of addressing that. What's wrong with me? I turn my back on all I've lost. I only see people whose life and homes have been tossed. I get them things they need and lend them an ear. I hold their hand, I hug them, and their eyes start to tear. Why have I become this way? What has made me strong? How do I know the words to say? How do I last this long? I'm looking to see my journey in life. God protected me, so I could be here now. Through all the darkness I can see. I help brothers and sisters through hunger, thirst, ashes, dirt. Some so overwhelmed, so lost, so depressed, so hurt. Oh Lord, such a sadness I do see. I feel their pain. Why me? You gave me my sight and gave me my hearing to comfort others with new memories so endearing.
Yes. Oh, Paul, what beautiful poetry, and it goes through the feelings that we do feel a big range of all of these. You have another one?
Yes, I'm just looking at one now. This is kind of, I was talking to a younger man, and the thoughts that he gave me, this popped into my mind. It was kind of addressing his needs. I looked the other way. Were things I missed? Could have been great someday. Don't think I'll make that list. Inside I have the drive. I should give another try. While I am here alive, do it all before I die. So where do I go next? When do I go to leave? There's only one who checks. I have nothing up my sleeve. I live my life clean. I do nobody wrong. If you know what I mean, it shouldn't take that long. I want something great to do, something for all to remember. No one should be alone. You are a mankind family member. Hold your head up proud. Go shake another hand and make yourself heard loud when you're playing in the band.
It's a part of life.
Yes, it really is. It's a part of life. I may say it's a part of death. I don't have a fear of death, and my thought on that is, if you fear death, then you probably fear life. You're not going out and living a full life because you may be afraid you're going to die. And I've talked to a lot of people about that in a way, and there's nothing. We're all going to die. It doesn't matter. Live your life fully, and don't be afraid to do something. Don't be afraid to go out and hug that person. Don't be afraid, whatever it is, because we're all God's children. We're all going to die, and that's part of our life. Mm-hmm. And that's how I am. Just fulfill your life, fulfill others' life. Do what you can, and it comes back around. It's everlasting life. Death is just a next step, and we're all in this journey together. We all have our place we're headed to in our hearts and in our heads and in our minds. And we're God's children. God wants us to be happy, not to worry. He wants to bring us home. There's no need to be afraid of that. You can call it death or transition or whatever you want to call it. We're all going to go there, so why fear it? It's part of our life.
Yeah.
Here's kind of another little poem that I wrote. It kind of addresses how I was feeling at first. It is devastating to drive through the paradise, see all the burnt trees, all the buildings, see all the destruction. Yeah. And my mind kind of crossed on this thought. I've seen enough black. I want to see green. The fire took it away from us. It's such a different scene. I want to see what I came to love. It will take years. It's only with God above we carry on and wipe the tears. I've seen enough black. I want to see green. Are you hearing this? Do you know what I mean? Life has been lost. There has been such a change. Normal thinking does not apply. Things seem so strange. I've seen enough black. I want to see green. Oh, dear Lord, bring the rain. Wash it. Make it clean. The way we lived did take such a great dive. We are here dealing with it. We've changed, but still alive. I've seen enough black. I want to see green. Many things that once stood straight now lean. Is this the bigger picture, the one that had a plan? Everything in place now, every child, woman, man. I've seen enough black. I want to see green. I pray for a speedy recovery. Stop living in between. We are here together to love and help and care. I've seen enough black. With faith, I'll see green there.
And that is so true. And we are seeing green.
Yes.
Green in the a new spring life.
Yes, we are. It's popping up all over. There's more and more green. I went out one day, and it was in my heart just to pay back the church and give people something to see. I started landscaping the church. I took off one day, and I just wanted to buy flowers of every color that I could buy. This was before the nursery. And I just started planting beautiful flowers all over. So when people come in for whatever their needs are, they can't miss seeing the purples and the blues and the orange and the yellows and the reds and all the flowers just popping up everywhere, greenery, just beautiful things. I watch the people slow down and look out their car windows. Just look at all the colors and realize that's where we've all got to head to. We've got to bring this color. We got to bring the life back into the area, back up to the ridge. That's part of the the big help that it's High Hen Nursery that is owning the nursery right now next to the church, and they're bringing in the highest quality, most beautiful plants, and the prices are reduced, and it's to help everybody to rebuild the community. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. I left the church doing it out of my gratefulness and out of my pocket, and it didn't bother me one bit. And even if you, there's the smallest little flowers you can get, there's big trees you can get, there's fruit trees, vegetables, all kinds of things are available. And I pray and I see that this nursery will only expand and help all the recovery, help bring all these things back up to the ridge, back up all through paradise. And it's just a wonderful thing. I was working for the nursery for a bit and kind of walked away. I felt in my heart that I had another little bit of a calling that I needed to be working towards. And I'm here now. I think that was part of the calling. I'm here speaking to you all now. And I'd like to mention one thing. I have a truck that I picked up to do deliveries for the nursery, so that's available. One of the first big deliveries that I did was a big load of trees and plants and shrubs, and I took it into a neighborhood that was full of cul-de-sacs that was terribly hit with loss. There were street workers there, tree workers there, people directing traffic. When they saw me driving down the street, people turned and looked. The workers turned and looked. The men up in the trees turned around and looked. I was getting whistles. People were clapping. People were smiling. And I didn't expect this. It caught me off guard. It was such a wonderful feeling. I kind of said I felt like an astronaut returning to Earth. All of a sudden, here's all these beautiful feelings coming out from everybody that I didn't think was paying any attention. They all were. Everybody saw this load of life and rebirth coming back into the neighborhood, and they were all happy to see it. And I'd like to see that progress. So I'm continuously going to be delivering any plants or trees or anything else that anybody wants to wherever they need it delivered to. And I get strength off the beauty I see in that.
It is so wonderful. What a life-enhancing lesson that you have here with all your experience.
Thank you, John. It has been wonderful. It's been beautiful. And I would love to come down and share more of this with you in the future.
It's been wonderful. Paul Hosfield, thank you so very much. And we can visit you at the Magalia Pines Baptist Church.
Yes.
And you are just such a positive force here. It's the God's force. And
thank you,
John. Being a part of it. Thank you very much.
The Lord is flowing through me. And come on down. Give you a hug. Have a cup of coffee. Love you all, my brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
Shine your light. I am yours, Lord. Lift me up. I am no more.